Right, let's have the rest of the choir come on up. Let's get ready to start the service here. About two or three, we're going to kind of let folks have time to get in from outside. We'll start the service.
Well, welcome to Anchor Baptist Church on a rainy day. Well, we'll get over that soon. Hymn number 40 asks a very important question. Are you washed in the blood? Let's stand and sing hymn number 40 together. Everybody find your place. Join us as we sing. Sing out now.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace and love? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white and are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed?
I hope you're washed in the blood, because I tell you, there's enough rain to wash you, but it won't get you to heaven. Amen. Well, we first of all, thank you for being in the service today. We really struggled a little yesterday about having it because we thought it was going to be worse, but God's been very good to us here in Columbia. Kind of turned it a little bit to the north, and so we're getting a lot of rain. And I know some trees have been, you know, things like that, but nothing like they were talking about at first. So thank the Lord for that. We praise God that He protected everyone. As far as I know, no one in our church has been affected adversely by the storm. Of course, they talk about some flash flooding and all of that that can still happen days down the line from all this. And so we'll just have to see what happens. Be praying for the folks down on the coast, down Myrtle Beach, and then in North Carolina. I saw this morning on the Weather Channel that they estimate at 8 o'clock, or at 6 o'clock this morning, that 9.6 trillion gallons of water have fallen on the state of North Carolina since this storm started, and they calculated it would be enough to cover the entire state in 10 inches of water. That's a lot of rain. And it's not done because, of course, then when all that goes into the mountains and starts making its way back down, that's when these rivers really stand. We know about that from the big flood we had 3 years ago, how dangerous that can be. And so we certainly want to be praying. Brother Ralph, Miss Eddie may have some folks down near Wilmington family. That's where they're from down there. And they're certainly in underwater, as it were. You may know some folks that way as well. Know some preachers, Brother Johnny Spence down in Lumberton. That town is underwater again. And they got hurt real bad in that last flood, you know. And so anyway, we just want to be praying. But thank you for taking the time to come. Good to have some visitors here with us today. And we'll mention them and introduce them to you in just a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask His blessing upon the service. Then when we're through, you can be seated in the congregation. And the choir will sing another song. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Brother Stephen Todd, you pray for us, please.
Done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
And if you're happy for that, say amen. Jesus loves even me. Well, we're going to give the choir a chance to come down, give you a chance to greet each other for a few minutes. Let's stand, have a little handshaking time while the choir comes down.
Brother, how you doing? Who is that behind me? Hey, Purdy. Hey, Brother West. Thank you so much, choir, for the good singing this morning, and thank you for being here. Let's find our seats. We'll continue on with the service. And again, we're so glad to have all of you here today. Let me go ahead and make this announcement right away. We are not having service tonight, okay? So we're not having service tonight. It's still going to be raining much like it is now, and maybe even harder as the day goes on. And so we don't want to put anybody in any kind of danger, but I appreciate you making the effort to come this morning. And some of you with getting your children out, and I know that how hard that can be to get the kids in the car, you know. And all I can say is thank God for a garage. I'm telling you, this is the first one I've ever had, and thank God for it, I'm telling you. But anyway, thank you so much for being here. Let me introduce our guests this morning. I have several. Mr. Scott, Andrew Scott, he's a neighbor of our. Stand up, Mr. Scott, let everybody see you. And he's a neighbor of ours. Their church didn't have service, so he came to be with us. And so we're glad to have him here. And then Miss Goff. Miss Goff, stand up there. She came with Miss Raven, of course. Miss Raven's with Miss Bobby, and Miss Bobby's with us. So there you go. We just work right down the chain. No, Miss Goff, we're glad that Tina Goff is her name, and we're so glad to have you. Then good to have Miss Poland here with us. Miss Poland is a resident over at the Waterford, and Miss Dunlap, her daughter. They've been here before. They come to our services. I had the privilege to meet Mr. Dunlop at the service at Waterford a couple of weeks ago. And they're here in the service with us this morning, and I'm so glad to have them here as well. And then with Ms. Gonzalez, got a couple of folks here, Mr. Terry, Wayne Terry, and then Joe O'Connell. Is that right? And we're glad to have these folks here with us today as well. So there you go. On a day when most church folks can't get out, the visitors show up. How about that? And we're glad to have all of them here with us. And I hope if you have not yet shaken their hand that you will. And let them know that you're glad to have them here at Anchor Baptist Church. All right? All right. I tell you what, let's do. Let's have the ushers to come on. We'll take care of the offering this morning. Get that done. And then we'll have a couple of announcements. And then Brother Tim can come and lead us in another song. All right. Let's bow our heads together as we pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon the offering. Father, it's a joy to be back at the house of the Lord on a stormy Sunday morning. And Father, I want to say thank you, Lord, for answering prayer and turning the storm away from us a little bit, where maybe we didn't get near what they thought we were going to get. Lord, many of us remember some, especially Hugo, in the same type of frame and how much damage it did. But Lord, you certainly turned it from us. But the folks on the coast, Myrtle Beach and in that area, and then, of course, all the way up the North Carolina coast, even into the state of North Carolina, lots of damage, lots of flooding. And Lord, we know several people up in that part of the state of North Carolina, preachers and families, and we have family members of folks here at our church, and that they are suffering through, and for several days we'll be suffering through the flooding and all of that. Lord, please minimize the damage, and God, give them grace to make it through these days, and help us to be available to them, whatever we can do to help with their situation. But God, we do pray for all the folks that are involved in that storm. And God, we pray most of all that you do a work in their hearts if they don't know God. Help them to realize that God's not mad at them and God's not punishing them. Lord, this is just what happens in weather. That's just the way it is. But the same God that they may think does not care for them does care for them and loves them and may use this very thing to touch their heart with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for our visitors coming today. So glad to have our visitors here with us today. They braved the weather and got up to come, and we thank you for it. Now, Lord, we ask you to bless the offering, the gift and the giver. Be with our folks. Brother Shelton is working down near Santee and all of this with the highway patrol. And God, keep him safe. He's been down there several days and will probably be there several days more before it's over. Keep him safe out there. And, of course, we have some families that move to higher ground, and we understand that. Miss Claudette's up in Spartanburg, and the Richardsons are up in Clemson. And so, Lord, give them safety. Keep them safe and bring them back safely to us. Now, Lord, bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Before Brother Brian comes to give us a couple of announcements, we'll have another song in a moment. Let me mention a couple of things. First of all, Miss Shirley Hughes, I got a letter from Brother Richard yesterday, or actually it was Friday, and Miss Shirley is not doing well. They put her in hospice. She has battled that cancer for a little over 2 years now, and God is back probably closer to three now. And she has really battled that. Brother Richard, of course, has been very faithful. She has too. They were supposed to be in Camden this week for a meeting, but they had to cancel it because of the weather, of course, too, but also because of Miss Shirley and her situation. And so Brother Richard said to really pray for the family. Of course, Miss Shirley's homegoing seems to be kind of imminent now. None of the treatments are working any longer, and the cancer is beginning to elevate again. So please remember Brother Richard and Sister Shirley Hughes, and faithful folks for so many years. And then Brother Jimmy Rose, he's in a nursing home and not doing good. So pray for Brother Jimmy, if you would. Brother Ed Maccabee, I mentioned him, another preacher up in the upstate. And then Christy Todd's children, Heather and Joshua. Heather had surgery this week up in Greenville, and it was a success, but has some other issues. And so pray for that. And then her son, Joshua Walters, is that right? Walters. And down in Hartsville is also having some issues, and so please remember that. Also, I got a note from Jay Shannon. Some of you don't remember Jay, but Jay's a missionary out in Arizona. Been out there several times, used to support them. And Brother Jay comes out of the church where Judy and I were at for a while. He's got a son, Brian. He's on the Tohono O'odham Indian Reservation in Arizona. His son, Brian, is on the opposite side, also doing mission work. He was going through Casa Grande and got into a car accident, got tore up pretty bad. So he's in the hospital. So remember Brian Shannon, if you would. That's Jay's son. And then Christy's got some eye surgery, supposed to have it tomorrow, but I think they've had to reschedule it, and don't know yet for sure when, but let's remember that if you would. All right, we also mentioned that Friday, this coming Friday, they're having the annual Men for Christ crusade at Gantt Street. They do it every year. Brother Eddie Davis is preaching there this week, or the Friday night. It's a great meeting. It's a wonderful meeting for the men and the young men. I'd like to get a count of how, now the service is at 7:30. We'll leave here around 6:30 unless you want to meet at Gantt Street. It's in Casey. Some of you know where it's at, and you might even be closer there to go there. If you want to, you can meet us there. But if you'd like to go with us, then we'll meet here about 6:30 Friday night and go over to the service. You'll enjoy the service. Brother Eddie Davis is a great preacher, and you'll really enjoy the service. But I'd like to get a count, perhaps, of how many are planning to go, even if you're not riding with us, but you're planning to go to the meeting. The service starts at 7:30. How many of you would like to try to go Friday night? Let me get a count if I can. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just men, Miss Edmay. Sorry. 5, 6, 7. Okay. All right. 7. Okay. Great. Huh? There what? Is that this? Yeah, Brian's got that one. If you get me turned around, we'll be bumping into one another. Those are my two announcements that I'm responsible for, okay? So we'll meet here at 6:30 Friday night. We'll let you know more about that Wednesday night. Okay, come on, Brian.
All right, Pastor, I mentioned no service tonight. I had to twist Brother Tim's arm, but he decided to cancel choir practice as well. So, you know, so no choir practice either this evening. We will plan to be back here Wednesday night. Of course, in some drastic scenario that we don't foresee, we'll let you know if something changes there. But Wednesday night here at 7 o'clock will be our regular midweek worship service. Pastor mentioned the meeting Friday. Got a good count. We're looking forward to that. But the ladies, while the men got their night Friday, well, the ladies got their thing on Saturday. So that's 2 days in a row they spend time apart from each other. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. Probably a good thing sometimes. I don't know. But Saturday, we've been mentioning this, and we are going to get a count this morning for who wants to go. This is Saturday, and I don't know what time you are leaving to go. Okay. 8:30. Okay, sure. So right now we plan to leave at 8:30. If that changes, we'll let you know. But we'd like to get a count. This is in Hartsville, which is close to Florence, this coming Saturday. So if you ladies, Brother Ralph, just the ladies this time, and Brother Joaquin, just the ladies, okay. If you want to go Saturday, raise your hand, ladies. I do not have my hand raised, okay. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, back there. Okay, 10. Okay, so 10 with a possibility of 11. I think we may try to clean up that with some people that may not be here, but that's a pretty good number. So, all right, so be listening for us to tell you exactly what time to be here Saturday morning, and you'll enjoy that, ladies, down at Whispering Pines. Thank you for going to that. The next thing on the schedule would be the Rusty Anchors meeting. That's not this Tuesday, but the next one, the 25th. So Rusty Anchors, keep that in mind. You're going to the museum, the South Carolina State Museum downtown. And then we won't mention this all the time, but we'll keep these dates fresh on your mind. The Trunk Retreat, Friday evening, October 26th. Mark that down. Don't plan anything. Get involved with that. And then the Christmas party, we're giving it to you way early on Friday, December 14th. Get some red ink and write that date down in your calendar so you don't miss that. All right, brother.
All right, hymn number 200. Number 200, we'll give you a chance to find this. We'll stand and sing the first and last stanzas. Make Me a Blessing, number 200. All right, sing together.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. was given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing.
Singing, you can be seated now. Right before the pastor comes, we have the blessed trio coming to sing.
I know we've all been glued to our TVs a lot lately, looking at weather forecast for probably almost a week now. And you watch those folks, and I believe they do the best they can trying to determine what these storms are going to do. Something that can sometimes be pretty unpredictable. They do take their best shot at it based on what they know. But still, you don't know.
You never know for sure. I'm glad we serve a God who, when it comes to the storms in life, He knows when they're coming. He knows where they're coming. He knows what's going to happen during the storm. And He also knows what it's going to be like after the storm. And no weatherman on earth can tell you all that stuff. But our Lord can do that.
When the storm raged about them, the disciples were afraid. For the waves were high and the ship was tossed. They could not find their way. Then they awoke the Master, saying, Lord, please save us now. He rebuked the wind and the sea grew calm. They all wondered how. God sees the storm from the other side. He knows the lessons learned. And just beyond the clouds, He sees clear skies. He speaks peace to the raging storm. When peace could not be found, He already sees the rainbow. When we see only clouds, like the man on the sea did, I have called on God in prayer. When it seemed to me all hope was gone, but in my great despair, I remembered what the Lord said when He calmed that troubled sea. And I know once more how He sees the storm, and peace floods over me. God sees the storm from the other side. He knows the lessons learned. And just beyond the clouds, He sees clear skies. He speaks peace to the raging storm when peace could not be found. He already sees the rainbow when we see only clouds. And when the storms of life come crashing in and trouble me, I can feel God's arms around me. And He whispers, let it be, let it be. The storm from the other side. He
knows the lessons learned, and just beyond the clouds he sees clear skies.
Oh,
he speaks peace to the raging storm when peace could not be found. He already sees the rainbow when we see only clouds. He already sees the rainbow
when we see only clouds.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, trio. Great message to that song. Get your Bibles ready. Listen now as the pastor comes.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Tim, and thank you, Trio. And I'm glad that God sees the rainbow when we see only clouds. I'll tell you, a lot of times you look up, you can't see God, but He can sure see us. And that's the great thing about our God. Isaiah chapter 59 this evening, or this morning, actually. Isaiah chapter 59, Brother Brian mentioned something about it. Of course, I probably spent more time watching the Weather Channel this week than I have in my whole life. Because the weather, you know, doesn't really, it's not something that I'm always, you know, it's either hot or hot in Columbia. So there's not much need to watch a lot of weather. But this thing has really been something that people have kept their eye on. And of course, like Brian said, it changed. It seemed like it just changed all the time. By the way, I don't know if you watch the Weather Channel at all, and that now it's a big to-do. Judy and I noticed it when it happened. That, you know, they had those fellows out there, you know, doing the reports when the storm was blowing through, you know, and they had on their little hoods, and boy, the wind is a blowing. That fella, boy, he's a giving that report, and he had his legs out, man. He's like, he's about to fall down. And boy, he was really making a big, and right behind him, unbeknownst to him, are two guys in shorts walking down the sidewalk like it's sunny and nice. I told Judy, I said, do you see what I see? I said, that fella's about to get blown over, and they're out there having a big time. Their pants aren't even blowing. And then all of a sudden, I heard on the national news that, now they're trying to say that maybe he faked that or something. I don't know if he did or not. It looked like it was storming to me. I don't know. Maybe those were angels. I don't know. And they out there walking around, the storm wasn't bothering them. I don't know. But I'll tell you, they sure walked right in the frame when they didn't need to. I can tell you that. So, you know, it's amazing, though, how everything it changed. You know, at one point, Columbia was going to get battered, and then it changed. And, and even yesterday, as we were trying to determine whether you even have service this morning or not, depending upon, because we were talking about how it was going to hit us at midnight and throughout the night, you know, and really be tough. And then it changed, and it changed again. And so finally, I just said, well, let's just have church and tell folks to come on if you can. And I appreciate you making the effort to come. Well, here in Isaiah chapter 59, I want to read two verses to you. And notice it says in verse number 1, it's page 764, if you have a Schofield Bible, Isaiah chapter 59. And if you can, if you will, please stand with me as we read two verses in the Word of God before we pray. Verse number 1, the Bible said, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Father, we love you today and ask you to bless the Word of God to our hearts. And Father, every day things change. Our lives, 98% of our lives are lived on some decision we make by something else that's happened. And things change. The weather changes. Our minds change. Circumstances change. Every single day, and sometimes moment by moment, things change. But Lord, I'm glad that the Word of God tells us that there are some things that never change. The Bible said that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I'm glad that no matter how things change, our God will never change. And so, Lord, I pray in this hour, as we spend a few minutes in the Word of God together, that you'll speak to hearts here today and let them understand that if they're not saved, that God is not too big and His hand is not shortened, that He cannot save. And perhaps, Lord, there are people here with dire prayer needs and requests upon their heart. May they understand that His ear is not heavy, that it cannot hear. But, Lord, there are some things that keep God from hearing and some things that keep God from reaching. And, Lord, it's not God's fault. It's never God's fault or choice. It's always ours. So I pray that you'll speak to us for just a few moments this morning from the Word of God. Speak through these lips of clay. And may I say only that which will be pleasing in your sight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to preach a few moments on the thought, constants in a time of change. Constants in a time of change. We're living in a changing world. We just went through a changing weather pattern. Now, the politicians call it global warming. God calls it weather. Amen? Just the way it is. Weather changes. I mean, it can be hot one day, cold the next day. It can be raining like this, and tomorrow the sun be shining. Sun be shining, next day you know trees are down. It just happens that way. And things like that are things that we have no hand in. We have really, man has no hand in what the weather does. Now we can certainly predict it, or at least decide, and you know that even that is not an exact science. That they could make predictions, and I realize that probably they go more than they need to, because certainly the danger could be there, and it's better to err on the side of caution. I understand that. So I don't get mad at a weather man or a weather lady or weather person if they say it's going to be one thing and it's not. I mean, number one, they have no control over that. Now, it'd be different if they told me that it was going to be sunny today and they could turn on a switch and the sun come out. Then if it rained, then I could say, hey, man, you lied to me. But, of course, man doesn't have that ability. God has that. By the way, it's not Mother Nature either. It's God that controls the weather. God controls everything. All of it is in God's hands. We just have to live, as I mentioned in the prayer, the majority of our decisions are based upon things that happen to us. We respond. We react to things that happen. And so because of that, we have to live with that decision, whatever it is. Well, here the Bible speaks, Isaiah writing to the Israelites, and it's applicable to us today as well, that there are constants in a time of, there are some things that are the same no matter what. This storm can blow through, and I mean 150 mile an hour winds and just blow down everything, but one thing will be the same. The air that carries it doesn't change. Now, it may get roiled and all of that, but that's just the way God made it. God intended it to be that way. There are certain things that the storm can come through. It could come down and hit 1205 North Springs Road and blow my two-story house to the ground. But one thing is still good and still the same. That is, Judy and I are still married. That's not going to change. Right? Okay, just check it. Hadn't asked her in a little while. Like that fellow, his wife kept screaming at him, how come you never tell me you love me? He said, I told you when I married you, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know. Amen. Well, it's good to let folks know you love them and that everything's okay. Right, Judy? Got the thumbs up? All right, good. So I do get to eat lunch today? Praise God. Two thumbs up right there. That's good. All right, but I want you to notice three things real quickly this morning in the time that we have on constants in a time of change. Number one, here's one thing that has never changed, and that's God's power to save. Amen? God's power to save has not changed. God is still saving sinners. Amen? I'm glad that God still saves old sinners. We hadn't sung that song. I don't know if it's in our book, but I used to love singing that song. I am so glad God saves old sinners. Amen? And I was a sinner one time, and God saved me. And God, the same God can save the same way, in the same circumstance, no matter what. And if you're here without Jesus Christ, I'm telling you that your life can change, what you wear can change, what your job does can change, your attitudes and a lot of things can change, but God will never change His mind about saving sinners. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. So God's power to save hasn't changed. Number one, He's able to save. Amen? The Bible said He saves to the uttermost. And so one country preacher said, from the uttermost to the guttermost. Amen. I'm glad that God can reach way below the bottom and save a sinner. Whatever you've done, you've not done anything so bad that God cannot save you. He is able. You've not committed a sin that He's forgotten about. You've not done something that He's overlooked. You've not sinned a sin that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cannot cleanse you from. And so God is able to save you today. And that does not change. Now, if you don't want to get saved today, that's your choice. But guess what? He'll be able to save you tomorrow. And the next day. And the next day. And God will be able to save you until you make that final choice or die and meet God unprepared. So He is able. But not only that, but God's the power to save, not only is He able, but He's apt. He's willing. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I figure I'm only going to get to preach one time a day, so I might as well unload it all right now. Amen? And so just hang with me a few minutes. He's able, He's apt, and God's power to save is available. Amen. You don't have to meet a criteria other than you're convicted of your sin, and you believe. The Bible said, with the mouth, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And so I want you to know that God's power to save is available. You can go home saved today. I don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. We plan on being here Wednesday night, but I'll guarantee you we won't meet again exactly like we're meeting right now. Something's going to change somewhere, either the crowd, the folks that are here, the circumstances that brought us here. Hopefully by Wednesday the sun's back out. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that God can save you today. Amen. He's able, He's apt, and He's available. Amen. But then number two, notice God's power to save is not only constant, but God's power to hear and answer prayer is constant. Amen. What does the Bible say in our text? His ear is not His ear. God's arm is not too short that it cannot save, and His ear that He cannot hear. I'm glad God is a prayer answering God. Amen. I guarantee you, we were watching Weather Channel, and they had some older lady on there up in that area about the time everything's really starting. And boy, they was interviewing her. You know, when you pick an old country woman to interview, you don't know what she's going to say. And boy, that feller, he got that microphone under her, and he said, ma'am, he said, she told her name, and she was from Wilmington, and said, ma'am, what do you think about this storm? Are you prepared? She said, why, sure I am. I mean, she said, I've been a-praying for days, and I believe God's going to answer my prayer. I know that feller said, I wish I could move on to somebody else, but boy, the longer he stood there, the louder she got. She said, why, I'm telling you, I've been a-praying. And I got other folks she's country all the way. She said, I've been a-praying, and I got other people a-praying, and we just believe God's going to answer our prayer. We're going to be all right, friend. Amen. I wish they'd interview her again. Because she'd probably then say, I told you God would answer prayer. Yes, sir. God's power to hear and answer prayer is constant. It has not changed. His power to answer, hear and answer prayer is a present power. It's right now. Whatever you have on your heart, if you'll pray and talk to God about it. Now remember, look back at the text for a minute. Let me give you this. Because a lot of people just assume that you call on God, He's going to drop everything and pay attention. Now, He'll do that in certain circumstance. Because look what it says in verse 2. He said, for your iniquities have separated between you and your God. David, remember when he was in the midst of that awful adultery, and he was wanting to get back in touch with God, and Nathan had already told him that he was guilty of that sin, and God knew about it, but that God had forgiven
him. And David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Now that's a Christian who the Bible said was after God's own heart. He spent way more time looking for God's heart than he did breaking God's heart. But the one time when he broke God's heart, he recognized that God's not just going to let it slide and let me start praying and he's going to forget that. He said, my iniquity has separated me from my God. Folks, let me say to you, if you've got something on your heart, first of all, you must make sure that you are right with God. If God, you know, God wants to hear you. The Bible says to the believer that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, that doesn't mean walking in, boy, with fists flying and saying, God, I'm here, and you, whoever else you're talking to, put them aside. I want you to hear me. That's not what that means. That word, when the Bible said we can come boldly, it means bearing all. Bearing all. I mean, you can go to God and tell Him anything. You can tell Him everything. Oh, and by the way, He already knows it. Just like the trio sang. He knows everything. He sees the clear when we see the clouds. I mean, He already knows what's going to happen. He sees the rainbow. He knows the end of the deal. He knows what's going to happen. He knows what your tomorrow is. He already knows that. I don't, and you don't, but He does. But listen, if you really want to get God's ear, then you're going to have to first make sure that your fellowship with God is right. Amen? You husbands and wives, if you have a little tiff at home, you know, the next thing you do is don't ask after you've done had a little fuss and then say, by the way, what are you fixing me for supper? You're going to have to pick your words better because that's probably not the direction she's going to want to go in at that moment. Amen? You know what's happened? Listen, you know what's wrong? There's something that has separated the two of you. Now, after a while, you may say, well, that was really silly. But at the moment, it wasn't. God's the same way. God wants to answer prayer. He wants to. It's not that He won't. He wants to. But He can't if there's something there. And remember, in our relationship with God, now in your marriage relationship, in your family relationship, in your employer-employee relationship, one side, if there's a problem, one side or the other has caused the problem. The issue is on one side or the other. Our relationship with God, if it ever gets broken, it's on one side and one side only, and that's us. God has never done anything to break His relationship with us because He can't. He's God and He's perfect. He's almighty. He's everlasting. So if there's a problem there, it's not God's fault. Now, we want to blame Him because humans want to blame somebody. And we blame Him because, as I've mentioned before, when we blame God for something, and I've heard people say, you know, blaming God, blaming everybody for this storm, the problem is when you blame God, He doesn't fuss back. You're not gonna blame God and then hear Him say, no, I didn't. He doesn't do that. Number one, He doesn't have to do that. But number two, He's not going to do that. Because remember, the relationship is broken from one side, and that's our side of it. Amen? Somebody said, you know, well, you don't ever listen to my side of the story. Well, if our relationship with God, there is only one side. Amen? So if it's broken, it's because of us. So it's a present help. The ability, power to hear and answer prayer is a praise. It's constant in its praise. When you get in touch with God, you don't have any trouble praising God. When you have a good relationship with God, when you have a good relationship with anyone, you don't have any trouble praising them or you know, commenting on something they've done or somehow exhorting them. You don't have that trouble. Now, you're not going to do that when you're having a fuss. God wants to hear and answer your prayer, and when He does, the first thing we ought to do is praise Him. In fact, if you really want to get God's ear, praise Him first. You know as well as I do, and this is in any human interaction, you praise someone and really talk them up and tell them how wonderful they are, and you can get just about anything you want. See, grandchildren have figured that out, haven't they? Yes, sir. The parents will say to the grandparents, now listen, We're trying to teach a junior about such, such, so and so. So we really don't want you, you know, we'd appreciate it if you didn't give them all that ice cream and all that cake and you know, and all that stuff. Okay? And the grandparent said, well, all right. Now, I'm not a grandparent yet, so I'm watching. But I'm hoping to be one of these days. I hope we get this thing. I'm going to learn from you all. Some of you are looking like, oh, Lord, I hope he doesn't get my lesson. But anyway, so here's what happens. So then the little grand junior comes over, you know, and says, Grandma, can I have some ice cream? No, no, your mother said. Grandma's not going to take that on herself. Oh, no. Mother said, you can't have it. All of a sudden, what mother said is not ringing in your ear. And before long, Junior has ice cream. And then, you know what the first thing Junior's going to do when he gets home? Grandma gave me ice cream. You know what that does? That creates conflict, not with Junior. He done figured it out. He is now playing Grandma against Mama. Yeah. That's what happens when we praise God, it does not come back on us where God is now going to start pointing out our faults. When we praise God, it just opens up His heart to know, now, by the way, it has to be real. It does have to be real. I've seen people shout when I knew God was within 1,000 miles of it. That's just, they just did it because they thought it was the right thing to do at the moment. I've seen them run the aisles in a church, and it did absolutely nothing for me. You say, well, it ain't up to you. Well, if I'm in the room and God has really blessed you that good, some of it ought to spill over on somebody else. But if it's not real, then it's just between you and Him. When we pray, it's between me. When I pray, it's between me and God. Now, I may pray for you or for something else that brings you into the conversation. But my praise and my presence are necessary for God to hear my prayer, because from that comes provision. The Bible said in Philippians, my God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Well, let me give you the last thing, and I'm through. Not only is God's power to save constant, it has not changed. God's power to hear and answer prayer is constant, it has not changed. But then, this is the part folks don't want to hear. The destructiveness of sin is constant. It has not changed. Verse 2 tells us that. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you. It can't be much plainer than that, can it? Do you see any opportunity for change in that verse? God said, your sin and your iniquity keeps me and you from doing business. And it's never going to change. God is never going to back up. See, what's wrong with religion today is it has backed God up. God is way up here. He's always, and by the way, He's still way up here, and He's never going to leave that spot. But what religion has done is grabbed Him by the ankles and tried to drag Him down. Like, you remember the old shades and the old window shades on the roller? You pull that thing down, if you didn't get it just right, it man, it'll scare the daylights out of you. And that little ring on the end on the string will knock your teeth out if you're not careful. That thing will start to, boy, I'm telling you. It'll scare the daylights out of you. So somebody invented blinds. Amen? They don't make any noise then, you see. But that's exactly what sin does. Sin separates, it hides. But at some point, sin will pull that shade and it'll scare the daylights out of you. Sometimes it'll be the Holy Ghost to do it. He'll just pull that shade, get you to wake up. the destructiveness of sin. Let me give you this and I'm done. What is the destructiveness of sin? Well, the cause of unconfessed sin. Look at verse number 3. The Bible said, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity." Notice, "Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue hath muttered perverseness." So the unconfessed sin, what causes us not to want to confess our sin? I talk to people all the time that want to stay, they don't mind, they like what they're doing, they love their sin. They don't think what they're doing is sinful, even though the Bible says so and everything else. But because of the times we live in, that have changed. Remember, it used to be, boy, preachers preaching against sin. Now you don't hear it much anymore because they don't want to offend the crowd. But unconfessed sin, what causes that? First is the acceptance of sin. Listen, it doesn't matter if Congress says it's okay. We should not, if sin is sin in the Bible and God does not change, then we should not accept it because the government says it's okay. Hey, we shouldn't accept it if some pastor or preacher says it's okay. Or some parent or some teacher. If God says it's sin, it will always be because God never changes. But then there's the agreement with sin. After a while, you know, listen, we deal with people. We've had people in this church who now, all of a sudden, at one time stood against certain things, now accept them as though we were wrong to stand against it in the first place. No. God said it was wrong, and it's wrong, and it's going to be wrong. You've heard me say this many times. Right is right if no one's doing it, and wrong is wrong if everybody's doing it. Doesn't change it. But not only is there unconfessed sin, but what about the condition of unconfessed sin? He said, "My heart, my heart, my heart." The heart, not the pumping muscle, but you. The heart is a personal thing. When you talk about, "Man, he's my heart." Now, you're not talking about, "Or she's my heart." You're not talking about the muscle that pumps. You're talking about you and how much they're tied to you. Well, if you really want to see God do something, if you want to get tied to God, make Him your heart. Don't make this world your heart. Don't even make the church your heart. If you make God your heart, the things of God will become part of you automatically. Can't help but happen. But then there's the consequences of unconfessed sin, and I'm done. What happens when we do not confess our sin? Number one, God is unmoved. God's not going to move and answer and help. He's not going to do anything if there's sin in your life. He's not. He's just not. You say, "Well, that doesn't sound like unconditional love to me." Show me anywhere in the Bible where God's love is supposed to be unconditional. Show it to me. If you can show it to me, I'll change my mind. You can't do it. "Oh, wait a minute, preacher. You said for God so loved..." Well, sure, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Ready? Here's the condition. "That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." There's a condition to it. Sure it is. Amen? But if you don't meet on your job, when you hired onto that job, that boss or whoever hired you laid out your job description. If you don't meet the requirements of that job description, then you're in danger of losing your job. "Yeah, but wait a minute, boss, you don't understand. I've got a wife and 3 kids at home and a mortgage and 2 cars. And you know what? That doesn't give you the right not to meet the conditions." "Well, listen, we hired you to do this job, so A, B, C, D, E, and F." "Yeah, I know, boss, I know. But, you know, you got to understand, I'm different. And I've got a different idea about how this ought to be done. And so I'm going to do it the way I want to. And you have to put up with it." You'll be looking for a job. And yet we tell God that every single day. God says, here's the way it ought to be. And we say, I don't care what you said, God. I don't care. Here's the way I... Perception is truth. I would love to tear that phrase out of people's minds. My perception is truth. Okay. Then if you perceive that the sun is shining right now, then I guess you must be right. Really? Did you hear what Joaquin said? He said the sun's shining. Oh, there goes a duck floating by. But he said the sun's shining, and so I guess we just have to agree with him. That's how people treat God. God said, here's the way it is. Well, I don't see it that way, God. And so since I don't see it that way, that makes it not so. Hey, I don't believe in hell, so there isn't one. I got news for you. Not going to change. I don't believe I don't even believe in God. That doesn't mean there isn't one. And trust me, you'll find out one day there is. I mean, what we perceive to be truth is not truth. What truth is truth. So confess sin means God is unmoved and our prayer goes unheard. If you want God to hear, you know, I don't know that lady that was on the Weather Channel, but I don't know. Something just tells me I believe she knew the Lord. The way she was telling that feller how. I mean, buddy, he's a scientist. She didn't care. She didn't want to hear, weather equations. He said, what do you think about this? Oh, God's going to take care of it. We're praying. Praise God. You say, oh, them old country red. Hey, but they know something about God. They sure do. And I'm telling you, we are living in a time of change, constant change. Every day something changes. But there are things that do not change. God's power to save, God's power to hear and answer prayer, and the idea of sin in your life. If you don't get it right and give it to Jesus and get saved, and we sang earlier, are you washed in the blood? If you don't get it washed in the blood, I'm telling you, you're going to die and go to hell. No matter what you think about it. No matter what I think about it. Because it's what God thinks about it that makes the difference. And you're either saved or lost. God said you're either for me or you're against me. That's all there is, folks. No middle ground. No gray area. So I wonder, are you saved today? If you're not, today's a good day to come to an unchanging God who can change your life. If you've got some need on your heart, and maybe you want to come to the altar and just say, God, here I am, and I want to talk to you about this. I want to bring it to you. First, when you do that, make sure that you're where you need to be. Because if you're not, He's not going to hear you. Praying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name in every circumstance, does not mean that God is listening. Sounds good, but if there's sin in your life, God's not going to hear it. So you need to get right with God. And what better day to do it than on a wet, rainy, stormy, hurricaney Sunday? Hurricaney. I don't know if that's a word or not, but probably wouldn't score in Scrabble, but it's good preaching. Amen. Let's stand, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. All over the house. The musicians are coming. We're going to sing a verse of invitation song. I again want to say thank you for braving the weather to come. I mean, because it's a little more than just raining. And you visitors, thank you for taking time out of your Sunday morning to come be with us here at Anchor. I really appreciate it very much. I'm honored that you're here and you took the time to come. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed for just a moment. Then we're going to sing a verse or two of a song and we'll be through. But I wonder, if you're not saved here today, if you're not born again, today is the day to do that. Today, the Bible said, today is the day of salvation. Now, if you say no to God, you could get saved tomorrow, but just remember this. You get saved when God wants you to get saved, not when you want to get saved. If God's touching your heart to get saved today, you ought to do that today. While He is the one, because He has to draw you. You don't just wake up one morning and decide to get saved. There has to be the drawing of the Holy Ghost, John 6:44 says.
If you feel something tugging at your heart, you know that you're not where you need to be with God, then you need to come and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. And you know what God will do? He'll do that. You know why? Because He hasn't changed. He still has the power to save. You may have some prayer request on your heart today. Some family member, friend, maybe somebody involved in the storm here that you want to pray for. There's nothing wrong with coming to the altar and praying that way for someone. You might want to do that. Maybe you have a need personally yourself, a financial need, a physical need, an emotional need, whatever it is. Today's the day to come and talk to God about it. Why don't you do it this morning before you go home? Get it all settled before you leave. Father, we love you today. And I sure appreciate the opportunity to be here. God, you've once again proven yourself to be mighty. We decided to have service. Lord, I mean, look at the good crowd we've got here today. Lord, I appreciate, because I don't ever want to put someone physically in any danger. But Lord, you impressed upon my heart last night just to have church and whoever wanted to. And look at the good crowd we have and the visitors. Thank God. And I pray that every need will be met. Lord, if there's someone here lost, draw them. Tug at their heart. Let them know that the God that never changes wants to change them. Lord, those that may have some real burden on their heart, some need, some prayer request, maybe for a loved one or a friend, something very special and personal to them, help them to come to this altar and present it to the throne of grace. For a God who does not change and whose arm is not shortened that He cannot save, an ear too heavy that He cannot hear. Lord, have your way in this moment of invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get